So today is February 12th, and there's a couple things that comes to mind as I was reflecting on today's sit. One is that it's Saint Valentine's Day, and we are in the United States of the Americas, where we celebrate this as the Saint, actual Saint Valentine's, a Christian tradition for over 1500 years. And the saint was known and honored for love and affection. And so we celebrate this, and of course, it's completely commercialized, so we want to acknowledge that. And also acknowledge and hold the sacredness, right? The sacredness, the honoring of someone who was held in high esteem for the qualities, the attributes, the characteristics of love and affection, showing love and affection, and how beautiful that was, that it was honored. So we can hold that. And it's not only romantic love, as some people might want to think. It's love. It's just this love, this care. For family, for friends, for animals and plants and the minerals. And certainly, if we could practice this love with the earth, even on one day, we might also change things. And so it will be nice to talk about love in Buddhism, as we practice together, and particularly how our teacher defines love. But before we do that, I wanted to also share that this time is the end of our rains retreat, right? So 3 months ago, we reminded each other that it was this period of the beginning of the rains retreat. And in our tradition, Plum Village and in the Plum Village monasteries in the US and elsewhere, around, it varies, but somewhere October, November, December, 3 months period into, depending on when it finishes 3 months later, where there's this commitment, this intentionality around practice, right? And we all took something up that we were going to practice with. And so here we are, it's 3 months later, just like that. And it wasn't so hard, was it? Easier for me to say, I have no idea what anyone was practicing with. But what I'm referring to more is the time, that 3 months has gone by so quickly. And that, when we think about a commitment for 3 months of something, giving up something, because that's often, I'm going to give up this or that, or even a practice to take up something, sometimes it might seem like unmanageable or impractical, because 3 months might seem so long, and here we are, it's gone. So just also reflecting on that, for my own practice of the 3 months, just thinking, wow, it just went away. That wasn't so hard, was it? Kind of feeling that energy. And also reflecting on what have I learned in those 3 months of this sort of more focus in a particular area. So as you know, we were practicing with the becoming a bodhi becoming bodhisattvas, and we had a few sharings about what that means. And so this was kind of my book. Well, this and three other iterations of of this Shantideva's book on becoming a bodhisattva or teachings on that, just to compare, the traditions and the translations, actually. Yeah. Particularly, there was one translation I read a couple of weeks ago where it said one of the aspirations was to become a man. So I put that iteration down. I didn't want to investigate that. It wasn't the intention of my 3-month practice, because that was kind of like the aspiration of the bodhisattva, right? I thought, no, I wouldn't want that. I would want to become a female again. Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? So clearly, I have some disagreement with that deep teaching. So whatever it was that you were practicing with on this path, I mean, we're all, whatever it is we chose to do, we are practicing on this path of bodhisattva, right? You may not call it that, I'm on this path of being a bodhisattva. And yet, once we intention our mind to bodhisattva, we are on the path. It's kind of scary, actually, right? And you just decided, and now you're on it. So whatever you're doing, it's in that you're on the path. Even when we fall down, we're falling down on the path. And it's kind of scary, because then it's like, oh my gosh. And then it's also beautiful, because it feels very comforting to be on a path, right? To be on a true path, this true path of love, this true path of liberation, this path of cultivating the most beautiful things in ourselves so that we can offer it out. Like what else? And so once we acknowledge that we're on the path, we're on the path. That's it. It's also scary, because then it's like, oh my gosh, I can't. In the thinking mind, it's like, oh, I can't have these thoughts anymore, because now I'm on this bodhisattva path, and like all the bodhisattvas in the world are watching me, or something like that. Thank you, Kyung. So it's still might be formidable, right? It's almost like saying, I'm on the path of becoming a saint. So I'm raised Catholic, so like if you say that, it's almost blasphemy, because it's like you're making all kinds of assumptions of who you are. I'm gonna be a saint. Oh my gosh. So it's like that, right? It's so that's the part for me that's kind of like, whoa, formidable. And I think we even do that sometimes. We think, who am I to think that I can become enlightened? Who am I to think I can be a bodhisattva? Certainly in Catholicism, it would be, who do you think you are that you think you can be a saint? Not in this lifetime, it's kind of deep like that. At least that's the way it's been imprinted on in me. First you got to get rid of that G that's stamped, that guilt that's stamped on your head somewhere. And then that's even a few lifetimes. But with the teachings of being a bodhisattva, it's once you declare your intention, you're on it. Right? It's the one conceit that a lot of the teachings say it's a really good thing to have, the conceit of saying, if the Buddha could do it, I can do it too. Right? So it's that. It's taking up a conceit that's a positive thing. Like, I need to know that I'm capable of this, right? I have the power to do this. This is a beautiful path. And we all have access. It's not just who can access it. We all have access, and we all practice in our different ways. So whatever it is that you practice with for the range retreat, during our Dharma sharing, if you like, it would be wonderful to hear about that and not. It's really up to you how that was for you. I know for me it was wonderful. I was really happily reminded in studying this text that every single word matters. That's where it's kind of scary, right? Every thought matters. And I know for like a few weeks there when I was going through that chapter around, if I think a bad thought about a person who just did something really terrible, how can I claim to be a bodhisattva? Because the bodhisattva's vow is to save all beings, is to participate in every being's liberation. And so if someone's just done something horrible, and there's a lot of weird, horrible things going on in the world, the bodhisattva can't have a thought that says, I hope that person suffers. Because the bodhisattva vows is all beings. It's not the beings who do good things in the world. It's not the beings who have aspired to bodhisattvahood. No, it's all beings. So there were some parts in there where it really, like, for me, it was kind of a wake-up call. Like, okay, you're on this path. You can't feel that way about certain people anymore. You shouldn't have. You forgot. And that's why it's so good to go back to these teachings, is the detail and the subtleness of what we're trying to do to aspire to our best selves. It's really simple. It's actually very, very simple. Don't think anything bad about anybody. Don't say anything bad about nobody. And certainly don't pick up your hand or your foot and make any action bad or injurious or harming to anybody. That's all. So for me, when I went through this again, it was really, I noticed my practice, it like, as you said last week, Carletta, I upped my practice because I'm on this path and I don't want to come off of it. And so what do I do to remind myself? And what happens when I forget? And how do we in Sangha, how do we remind each other that this is this beautiful path and that it really is about liberation for all beings, and it starts with us. So I really treasured this 3 months to bring me back to the clarity around, I want to do this. Yeah, I want to get free. Love to do it this lifetime. but hey, I'm happy if it's another few of them, right? Because that's the path, and knowing that it will be a few more lifetimes, and okay with that, because nothing is lost. That's what karma is, right? Everything has impact, everything has effect. So even if it's not experienced in this lifetime, it'll show up somewhere in some other lifetime. So I really appreciated these 3 months. And look forward to seeing how long before it all gets diluted in just my daily walks in life. Because unfortunately, in the world has so many impingements. I aspire, and I also know I fall down a lot. And yet I know I fall down on the path, and that gives me hope. I don't know if you remember, at one point through the last 3 months, we talked about, we didn't say true love as the vehicle or what we're trying to achieve on this bodhisattva path. We talked about the Brahma Viharas, the four divine abodes, if you remember. And the reason I bring that back up is because in doing a little bit of reading around love, in some Buddhist texts, the most beautiful one I found was Thay's interpretation of love, because Thay is such a poet. And so Thay describes love. He says there's four aspects of love. And guess what those four aspects are? They're the four Brahma Viharas. They're the four divine abodes. It's beautiful, right? It's like all, it's all the same, you know, this path, it's all the same, right? So he says the four aspects of love are loving kindness, maitri, compassion, karuna, joy, sympathetic joy, appreciative joy, mudita, and then equanimity, peksha, upeksha, freedom. And I love the way Thay interprets equanimity as freedom. And that they're not things that, they're things that build on each other. And then they're also each aspect or characteristic or each element, he describes them as four elements or four aspects of love, that they build on each other. And yet they're always there together with each other as well in differing degrees, right? In differing degrees. And so this is what love and true love is. And then I thought, oh wow, this whole path is about love. In Buddhism, this awakening is about love. And they're words, right? They're words that we use. And so it's good to have. I really appreciated that Thay describes these aspects of love in these four ways, like, because I think sometimes we understand love to be something that's not even that. It's not even caring. It's not even presence. It's not equanimity. It's not kindness. And so if we think about it, if we think about love needing to have these four elements to be true, it's actually a beautiful thing, right? It's kind of like I love to be guided by when do we speak? We speak when it's truthful, when it's timely, and when it's beneficial. And then, you know, there's been interpretations of other times. But the three, like, they all kind of fit into those three. And I really love that. And I use it all the time. And you can't speak the truth when it's not timely, because then it won't be beneficial, right? Because it has to have the three things, the three characteristics in it to speak, that's skillfully speaking, right? And it made me think of love, like when I read that from Thay, I thought, oh yeah, it's kind of like that with love. With true love, it has those three things or those four aspects, and they're in different, you know, degrees, and still it's beautiful to think that that's what love is. So it's a high bar, right? And it made me reflect. I thought, oh, it'd be lovely to ask people to talk about a romantic relationship and how it measured up the true love. And then I said, oh, but then I have to think of it for myself. And I was like, no, we are not going there. Don't have the time on Zoom to do that. So I dropped that. So we're not, I mean, you're welcome to share about that. But it's a hard one, right? When you think of it like that. And I'm not trying to minimize any relationships or especially any romantic relationships. It's just that it's a high bar. And it just makes me think, boy, I'm so glad I'm not in any romantic relationship and like ended that a while ago and don't foresee that in the future. Just because it takes time and energy. And I don't want to do that anymore with my energy, right? So it's a choice, right? I've chosen to how I want to use my energy. But I can practice true love with friends and my mother. And that's the thing, right? Like to really try to practice true love any relationship, relationship with a sibling, with a partner, with a coworker, with a parent, with a child, with a relative, with a co anyone, right? Practicing true love with the person you see every day or every week in the grocery store. Because then it, you know, it what it what this these elements of true love does is it takes away this kind of this idea that, oh, there's a magic ring around it. Because what it does, it says you can cultivate true love with just about any single person if you think about these four characteristics being how that presents itself. So then all of a sudden it becomes very liberating because then you can practice it with anyone. Right? Because it's really about how do we practice kindness with that person that we see in the grocery store? How do we have compassion for them? You know, do we understand them? Maybe they're in a bad mood today. Well, do we have the spaciousness to understand and offer that spaciousness, that compassion, because we don't understand what they just went through to get to work on time? Yeah. Can we appreciate a joy for them in their happiness because something wonderful just happened? And can we hold them in equanimity, meaning if there's something that's going on for them and there's nothing we can do about it, can we just offer kindness? Can we just wish them well? And if there is something that we can do to help them, we have capacity, can we do that? When you think about doing those things or practicing those things with any person, it's almost very liberating. It's like, wow, I can love a whole lot of people. I can have a true, deep love with so many people by bringing those aspects into it. So then it felt very liberating to be able to do that. Then I started thinking about people I know who I have history with. And then I started, especially people who I have history with who've caused harm to me, my body and my mind and my heart. And then it became harder to see how I can hold all those four together. But then when I took away the word love from it and started seeing, oh, I can hold kindness for this person. I can definitely be happy when they have joy. And, you know, if they're having a hard time, I wouldn't want them to go through that. I wouldn't want anybody to go through that. And then if there's something I can do to help them, yeah, I'd want to do that. So then it became like, oh, it's possible again. Right? Because we like understood what it was that love means, that word love means. So I'm sharing with you what I think is the depth of our teacher's wisdom in understanding and helping us see how we can practice with love in like the most, supposedly in impossible moment. With impossible people, and then how it can just be practiced so easily with people who maybe we have more understanding with. We've taken the time to understand them, right? Because that's one of the things that allow us to have compassion and equanimity is understanding people. And so sometimes we take a lot of time to understand people, and we haven't had the time to have that same degree and level of understanding of others, especially if they've caused us harm. We kind of don't even want to understand them, right? Because we're like, whoa, that hurts so much. So I'm inviting us into this exploration of love by really looking at the elements of it. And then even under the elements, looking at the what it takes to even nurture those elements, the understanding, being present for the meditations that allow us to have the spaciousness to look more deeply. And out of that spaciousness, what transforms in us so we can be present to those elements again. So I'll stop there and invite the bell so we can have period for sharing, more sharing and wisdom.